This is Superfast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome to this little video where we're talking about Superfast Business Live 11, the recap. And as we see,
what actually happened?
What happened?
Sort of like behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. So it's important to know who we had at the event. We had intermediate to advanced marketers. So it's a really important context to put to it, and a few world level experts.
I keep saying this, that one of the things I'm so impressed by is the sort of level of the community. You never run into a community who's like that many people are that advanced.
A lot of them have kept coming to the event. And actually, a member of mine gave me this idea. In the beginning, I thought I'd put on an event, people would come. And then the next year, I would sell the event and new people would come. Wrong. I actually thought about it like professional accounting, professional legal.
Continuing
they have
education.
To keep education. And so now it's totally framed as keep coming along. And the first 100 tickets for this event sell within Superfast Business Membership on the first day.
Amazing.
When we release the tickets, just to give you some context.
So high-level group of people, who are, you know, six figures and above, a lot of them, you know?
So we thought maybe we'd just cover maybe one key point from each of the experts as a little bit of a grab bag of what was there, which is obviously...
A grab bag is a thing?
Grab bag is kind of like if you just grab into the bag and
you
take
just get
it.
Whatever you
like
get.
Like a lolly bag at a party. We're going to give you some lollies.
It's going to be a lolly bag.
Yeah, it's not a full meal. We can't give you a two-day event, in, you know, word-for-word replay, because
right.
It'll take 2 days.
Well, we can't give you a lolly bag event.
Yeah.
Recap of an event.
So, firstly, I introduced this idea with my audience that we should be doing less and we should be doing more. And it's a really simple concept if you think about the 80-20 rule, which we talked about a few events ago.
Burrito principle.
Is there are some things you should really just do less of, and there are some things you should do more of. Simple, right?
How do you figure out what those are?
Well, you actually track your tasks for a week or two and see what you spend your time on.
Mm.
For me, I got constantly attacked by people saying, can I prick your brain? Can I take you for a coffee? I just want to pick your brain, which means I'd like to dredge through all of your ideas while you meet me somewhere. We'll drink coffee, and then you'll go feeling exhausted and like a shucked oyster.
I actually learned this strategy from you. A couple years ago, you said, hey, look, Tuesdays are the only days I get on the phone. And I implemented that. I just had it be that there was only one day that you could talk to me. And you had, you know, I filtered who would talk
to. And how did that go?
Amazing. It just frees up so much when you don't have a meeting here and there, you know?
It's the same for me. So it's just the days of the week where I do meet people, and I do it using a scheduling tool on my own terms. And
it's a really good one. It's less meetings.
Protect your time.
You know?
And it sounds harsh because you think being an entrepreneur means you can do anything, anytime, with anyone.
But you need that space to create. You need that freedom of open schedule where you can really...
Otherwise,
you know,
it's all open.
Or otherwise, you end up only ever doing the things right here, and you never figure out... You never go deeper than just the shit that's... Pardon my language. I apologize. The stuff that's just right.
It's all right. It's my show, so
okay, good.
We've done that before.
Just, you never go deeper than like putting the fires out that are right in front of you. And when you create that space, you can really... think at a higher level, you know.
Exactly. And the thing I suggested doing more of is serialized podcasts. They have been working really well for me, where we pick an expert or a topic and we do multiple episodes and we literally get...
So short-form content rather than long-form content?
No, they can be long. They can be 25 minutes or 40 minutes. But the whole point is they're not just one thing. If you think about a Netflix series, I just watched Narcos. Fantastic.
I've heard good things.
Watch it. But once you watch one episode, it's like, well, that's not enough. I want to watch the next until you watch all of them.
And everyone has binge-watched a show. I mean, it's like...
Right. So I think that now, when at no time like before, we can actually consume content on demand. It makes sense to structure content in a consumable way that continues on a series. So
that sort of hooks people.
Yeah, so these sort of three-part series, 1, 2, and 3, will now get more downloads than the most listened to episode.
And you can interlink them, which is good for SEO.
Always interlink them, and you forecast what's coming.
You
retrocast what was before. You say to people, hey, if you listen to this and you didn't listen to the first one, go back and listen to that.
And I don't know if we're going to get there, but Darren Rouse mentioned that he does this, that he creates three pieces of content, and it's the third piece of content that has people go back and...
It is, and he talks about the different types of content that you can create around the same topic, so different ways to present content. So we will get into that in a future episode. There you go. He just did it there. Should we go on?
We should, yeah.
So we heard about SEO from James Reynolds, and he just put up a couple of test results, and I'll just give you the short answer.
I have like sworn off SEO. I just don't do it.
Really?
I do content. My SEO is my content creation.
Well, you're doing it.
You're just not thinking about it. I don't think about it. So I'm curious. Tell me,
do you do any of these? Do you increase your click-through rates?
I attempt
like with
to.
Compelling titles?
Yes. I write good headlines.
All right. Well, that increases your SEO.
Right, good headlines.
Link out to authoritative sites from your
Absolutely.
Website?
Absolutely, every
so
post.
So that does good SEO.
All right, I'm doing it.
And do you link between your content internally?
I certainly do.
Well, that's it.
All right, well,
so you are doing SEO. The reluctant SEO guru.
I am not a guru in SEO.
But James Reynolds is.
Yeah, he is.
And, you
What's
know,
his website?
Well, he has a couple. He's got SEOsherpa.com.
Just wanted to give and, you that, James, just a little.
Yeah, given and he does a lot of work with our SEOpartner.com. So we know a lot about SEO because we do a lot of it.
Yeah,
and those three things are great things to do.
You know, when the recent study came out and said 50% of all traffic to e-commerce businesses is organic.
Well,
so like, I mean, it is happening out there.
A huge slice of my traffic is organic. So I'm getting podcast traffic and I'm getting search engine visits because we transcribe every show. Every word we say in every episode is transcribed and put on the page. So if I say how to make $5,000 in a week, that gets transcribed, and now
and
people
Google
searching for
that
it. And that actually happens to be a phrase that Google puts my site high up in the rankings for.
Interesting.
So we just said it then. It'll get transcribed, put on the site, and it will now become relevant to someone searching for that.
I think at least my understanding of it today is that high-quality, relevant, engaging content optimized into multiple media formats is a really good SEO strategy.
It's what Google wants to deliver to their audience so that their real customers, the people spending money on ads, want to spend money on ads with them.
There you go.
There you go. We heard about
this was awesome.
Storytelling
this
from
awesome.
A professional comedian who also
That's
had
a
debilitating illness that he overcame.
I cried during his thing. He got me, man. Like, at the end of his thing, I was tearing up and I didn't, you know... He got me.
What I liked about it is that he told us a story framework, and then he told us a story and broke it down for us.
Sort of, you know, showed us what he was talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. But each time he told a story, first time he told a comedy joke, and the second time he told a health story that he'd spoken about at TED, each time the audience is starting to think, oh, he's gone way off track here. What's this got to do with internet marketing? And then he said... Did you catch the storyline? And it was perfect. He did it twice within the same 20-minute session.
And I think one of the things to remember from his session was that at the end of the day, all we're doing is telling stories. I mean, really, selling is storytelling to some degree.
If you're a great storyteller, you're going to have compelling content. And if you watch A Bug's Life or Star Wars or any well-produced online content, it's going to have a story arc to it. We could say what some of the steps are if you want.
Go for it.
So you start out with this sort of situation where the character is at when they start out. Then they go through this difficult situation. You build up all this tension.
What was the problem?
Yeah.
Essentially, right? You
and
talk about the problem, you know.
Exactly. And then
hopefully
they,
your product solves that
Then
problem.
They get exposed to, you know, their character. And you see their humility and their vulnerability. And then they go for this epic ride. And then you get to the main sort of result. And then finally the tension breaks. Sometimes they sort of backpedal a bit. You think it's solved, but it's not, and they give you another dose. And then you get into the end bit where the character gets to sit around the campfire telling this amazing adventure that happened to them. And it's a compelling story because we're hardwired for that since cavemen times when they'd sit around the fire telling stories to remember things.
And if you want to be effective at selling whatever it is you sell, then you've got to be able to describe to your potential customer what that thing does and what the ownership benefits of it are, like where they are now and where this thing is going to take them.
Yeah, so a good before and after element is really the short story. Talk about where you're at, then all the transformations that happen and where you're at now, that's the transformation. That's a popular story. And remember to use this in your emails and everything else.
Absolutely.
So make sure you catch up on the next episode. We're going to talk about some subscription model things and a few other little surprises.
What I talked about, maybe.
We might get there.
Right. See you later.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.